I'm going to go ahead and kick off this discussion to provide a brief overview of the IMEDS program. After I speak, Richard Mashicki, who's the Deputy Director for Science and Operations within CDER at FDA, will provide some high-level opening comments from the FDA's perspective. And then following Rich, both myself and Troy McCall, who's the Chief Implementation Officer at the Reagan-Udall Foundation for the FDA, will provide an overview of the IMEDS program, including some of the more recent steps that have been taken within IMEDS and some overview of the next steps. So I'd like to kick that off with just providing a brief overview of the IMEDS program. As many of you know, and especially those of you who have continued to dial into our Brookings Roundtable discussions, is that Mini-Sentinel has made a lot of progress over the last 5 years. It is instrumental in providing the FDA an opportunity to conduct near real-time surveillance utilizing claims data from the largest providers of claims data in the United States. This tool is very useful and is routinely used by FDA. In parallel to that, over the last several years, the Observational Medical Outcomes Partnership, or OMOP, has also made considerable progress in understanding the performance of various statistical methods and study designs and other methods for using secondary electronic health data for development of evidence on medical products. These two programs have contributed significantly to our understanding of not only how to use these electronic health data for safety surveillance, but has also developed very instrumental tools in doing this. IMEDS is a public-private partnership that is a new partnership within the Reagan-Udall Foundation for the FDA. The aim of this program is to carry forward the progress that has been made both with Mini-Sentinel in terms of the development of tools and OMOP in terms of the development of methods for doing safety surveillance analyses. Recently, as Troy will mention in his part, OMOP has transitioned over into the Reagan-Udall Foundation under the IMEDS umbrella. Going forward, this program will have a number of opportunities to contribute to science. The first of these activities includes a continued development of methods for using electronic health data for safety assessments. Also, IMEDS will be charged with establishing a long-term research agenda and corresponding governance structure that addresses the methodologic needs of FDA's Sentinel initiative, as well as the methodologic needs of other stakeholders that are doing ongoing research on medical products. Another aspect of IMEDS will be to leverage the Sentinel tools and capabilities that have been developed over the last several years and are being used by FDA to also address continued safety questions that might be of interest to organizations other than the FDA. Finally, IMEDS will also engage in educational opportunities with an effort to train new scientists and equip them with the knowledge and expertise that would be necessary to conduct safety assessments. The IMEDS program itself has three core areas that encompass the various objectives that I've overviewed. The first of these is called IMEDS Methods. The focus of IMEDS Methods will be to facilitate methodologic research. Again, as I indicated, this part of IMEDS will be an extension of the OMOP work that has been done to date and will continue to happen within IMEDS Methods, and the work there will be focused on not only furthering the great work that OMOP has contributed, but also conducting new research that will help FDA and their use of the Sentinel system, as well as others in really understanding what the best methods are for doing medical product surveillance. IMEDS Education, going down the right side of the triangle, is the program area that will be soon developed to train new scientists in how to use these electronic health data resources for safety research and other types of research that will be used for developing better evidence on medical products. Finally, the IMEDS Evaluation component will begin to work closely with FDA to leverage some of the tools and capabilities and existing partnerships with data partners to broaden the use of these tools in order to address key needs within organizations such as the pharmaceutical industry, foundations, and others that are also vested in further understanding the safety profile of medical products. With that overview, I'd like to go ahead and turn over the discussion to Dr. Richard Mischicki, who's the, as I indicated before, the Deputy Director of Science and Operations within CDER at FDA. Rich will provide a brief overview and some opening comments to FDA, and then we'll hear from Troy and myself later in the presentation today about more specific details around IMEDs. So, Rich, if you're on the line, please press star 7 to unmute, and let me know when you're able to get on. Richard, if you're there, just press star 7, and that will unmute your line.
Hi, I hope that did it.
That did it. All right, go ahead.
Okay. Hello, everybody. I'm going to keep my comments very brief so that we can get on to the real meat of today's discussion. And largely, I'm echoing a fair amount of what you just heard from Greg. There's no question that IMEDS is very important to the FDA efforts. We have a great interest and are mandated to pursue the use of large-scale databases to help answer questions regarding drug safety. And as you heard from Greg, we are currently using MiniSentinel and its distributed database and its coordinating center as a tool to assist the evaluation of drug associations with adverse outcomes. So as such, FDA has a primary need to understand the performance characteristics of these type of methods, and in particular the methods currently used in MiniSentinel. The importance of this kind of continued methodologic research can be seen in how to recognize the limitations and usefulness of these tools as an example. Furthermore, to understand whether the certain methods or databases provide better information on certain outcomes. Further, we could look very much at understanding if better methods exist. And I think this has been one of the emphases under the previous OMOP efforts, and to see whether these can be improved and how could they be improved. Ultimately, it would be wonderful to see if one can prospectively detect adverse outcomes without predetermination of a paired association. Finally, we'd be very interested to continue the advancement of the development of more widely accepted common data models for this kind of work. The evaluation model that you heard about just now from Greg is also consistent with our hopes of broadening the use of MiniSentinel and its distributed network. So there's been a very good start under the OMOP effort with some very interesting findings. Now the transition to IMEDS has provided a renewed emphasis on informing us regarding MiniSentinel itself and beyond its own use. From our perspective, IMEDS represents an important collaborative effort and a very good example of the use of a public-private partnership to address pressing needs in drug safety surveillance. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to Troy then, or is it Greg next, but either one of you, to get into the real discussion.
That's great. Thank you, Rich. This is Troy McCall. Thank you all for joining the webinar this afternoon. I'm going to go over a couple of things. One is I'd like to provide a little bit of additional background on the Reagan-Udall Foundation and what we're here to do. And then I would also like to talk about some of the significant accomplishments that we have made over the course of the last year as we have looked to develop the IMEDS program. So the Reagan-Udall Foundation for the FDA, which of course oversees the implementation of IMEDS, is an independent 501c3 not-for-profit organization that was created by Congress to advance the mission of the FDA. Specifically, the foundation was created in 2002 in response to the FDA Science and Mission at Risk report of the Subcommittee of Congress on Science and Technology. And at that point, a significant need had been identified for an independent entity that could address the challenges that were identified in the report by fostering public-private partnerships. The mission of Reagan-Udall is to support and promote better science and technical capabilities with the goal of advancing regulatory science for and the mission of the FDA. Our mission also is to foster these public-private partnerships to drive innovative thinking and approaches to emerging science related to safety and effectiveness of FDA-regulated products. The foundation spearheads very complex research collaborations involving public-private partnerships, really with the aim to meet three objectives. The first of those is promoting safety and better evidence. That, of course, includes IMEDs, and that's what we'll spend the session this afternoon going over. But the other two objectives are certainly equally important, and those are to improve regulatory science processes and also to build scientific capacity through education and fellowship programs. The next few slides are going to show the significant progress that we have made in standing up IMEDS and advancing the program to the state that it is in today. Going back about a year ago, the organizing committee, the first organizing committee, was convened with the responsibility to design the IMEDS mission and vision. The purpose here largely was to create a charter document which would lay out exactly what the IMEDS program would entail, how it would be governed, and other various research policies. That charter was finalized with approval by the Reagan-Udall Board in April of 2013. At that point, the charter was placed on the Reagan-Udall website under the IMEDS section, as well as distributed to a wide variety of stakeholders to solicit additional feedback on the charter. That was done, and for those of you who did contribute, we're immensely grateful for your thoughtful comments and recommendations. Where possible, those additions were made to the charter, and a new version was issued shortly thereafter. As we go through this in discussing the various committees that have been created, either in the earlier days with the organizing committee, which was dissolved at the time the IMEDS charter was released, approved and released, I think it is important to, one, recognize those of you who have been gracious enough to offer your significant time, but also to show the wide variety of stakeholder groups that have been represented as we have gone through the development of the IMEDS program. In no particular order here, Leslie Curtis on the organizing committee. Leslie Curtis, who of course is at Duke University and has long been involved with the Mini Sentinel Initiative. Gary Neal, who is the liaison from the Reagan-Udall Board. Rich Platt, who's at Harvard Pilgrim and obviously oversees the important work that has been done and continues to be done on the Mini Sentinel program. Lee Rucker, who represents AARP. Patrick Ryan, who has long been involved in the Legacy OMOP program from J&J. John Santa, who is at Consumer Reports. Rachel Sherman and Melissa Robb, both from the Office of Medical Policy at CDER at FDA, Claire Spatel from Aetna, and Alec Walker, who, of course, has also long been involved in this important field of research. The objectives of the IMEDS Methods Program, as have been articulated in the IMEDS Charter, are fourfold. One, to create a long-term methods research agenda that supports FDA safety activities and improves upon the methods for the secondary use of these data using the OMOP three-year research agenda as a starting point for the creation of the IMEDS research agenda. And I'll say a few additional words on that in a few more slides. Secondly, to build an inclusive and educated community of methods researchers. Obviously, this is a very complex field of science, and we want to ensure that we have a large and fully inclusive community of scientists to support the efforts of IMEDS. Three, establish a fully transparent governance structure, which will be responsible for overseeing the implementation of the research agenda and really the long-term goals of the IMEDS program in general. And fourth, to establish a data environment which is needed for methods research, which includes an internal data and research laboratory, as well as establishing partnerships with data partners. In terms of the governance structure, which has been outlined in the IMEDS charter, we can really think about that as two separate categories or ways in which we look at how the program is governed and organized. Obviously, the Reagan-Udall Board has ultimate responsibility over everything that we do within the IMEDS program. But I'll direct you to the left side of this chart, where we see the committees that we've just talked about in terms of the IMED Steering Committee, as well as the IMED Scientific Advisory Committee. The IMED Steering Committee has responsibility for reviewing and approving the IMED's research agenda, providing guidance on any partnerships that IMED's in which IMED's engages, including regarding external communications. And also was responsible for selection of the IMED's Methods Scientific Advisory Committee members. In turn, the IMED Scientific Advisory Committee at this point has been responsible for creating the IMED's research agenda, and moving forward will certainly be intimately involved in reviewing all research proposals that are put forth in support of the activities associated with that research agenda, reviewing protocols, as well as assisting in the review of any external publications. I'll now reference you to the right side of the chart, in which we look at how the program is organized on a daily basis from an operations standpoint. We have an executive director at Reagan-Udall who ultimately reports to the Reagan-Udall board. In my capacity as chief implementation officer overseeing the IMEDS program, I report directly to Jane Reese Colburn. And then within our operations team, we have a number of areas that have been and will continue to be important in driving all of our activities associated with IMEDS. We have administrative support. We have crucial scientific and technical support at this point, led largely by Emily Wheelabob, Greg Daniel, and Alec Walker. And then we, of course, also have both intramural investigators today, and we look forward to establishing a group of extramural investigators once the IMED's research agenda is publicized. Moving on, obviously inherent in all of these activities are the needs to raise sufficient funds to allow us to engage in these activities. We, earlier this year, were fortunate enough to be able to raise in excess of $3 million to support the transition of the OMOP program from FNIH to Reagan-Udall. I suppose now would be an appropriate time to point out the great work that had been done under the Legacy OMOP program, as well as to extend our gratitude to our colleagues at FNIH for their oversight of the OMOP program until it did transition to the Reagan-Udall Foundation in July and August of this year. Also in July, we selected and convened the steering committee. The first responsibility for the steering committee was to assemble the constituents for the scientific advisory committee. And by the way, as I did for the organizing committee, I will also go over the individual membership for those two committees in just a few slides. As I indicated before, we have completed the transition of OMOP, the assets, in particular the legacy OMOP Research Laboratory, which has now been renamed the IMEDS Research Laboratory, as well as all the key personnel who were critical in advancing the efforts of OMOP. Those individuals have now been transitioned successfully to the IMEDS program. So in terms of the composition of the steering committee, and again, bear in mind, the steering committee effectively has a responsibility for approving and making recommendations directly to the Reagan-Udall board regarding all aspects of the IMEDS program. The chair of our IMEDS steering committee is Marcus Wilson, who is president of Health Corps. Our vice chair for the steering committee is Elizabeth Andrews, who is at RTI. We're also enjoying the involvement of a group of other well-qualified and very capable individuals, including Rob Califf, who's at Duke University, Patrizia Cavazzoni, who's senior VP at Pfizer, Karen Midtun, who, of course, is director at CBER, Jane Perlmutter, who's a patient advocate and founder of the Gemini Group, Michael Rosenblatt, who's chief medical officer at Merck, John Santa, who is at Consumer Reports, Janet Woodcock, who is, of course, director at CEDAR. And then we are in the process of identifying the liaison from the Reagan-Udall board to this steering committee. I think one thing that's important to point out on this slide, as well as when I lay out the composition of the Scientific Advisory Committee, is that you'll see names that are consistent from the organizing committee, which we were quite pleased at the fact that we were able to attract these individuals not only to work with us on standing up the IMEDS program, but also having their engagement and enthusiasm to continue in working with the program as we evolved. Moving on to more, much more recent activity, we did convene the first Scientific Advisory Committee meeting in September, which is, of course, just last month. The purpose of that meeting was primarily to review, discuss, and agree upon the long-term IMEDS research agenda, which we were successful in accomplishing. More recently, the IMEDS research agenda was reviewed by the IMEDS steering committee, specifically just last week on Friday, October the 11th, and I'm pleased to be able to report that with very few modifications, we are now in a position to consider the IMEDS research agenda, the long-term IMEDS research agenda, as final. So stay tuned. As we make those minor modifications, we will be submitting that document for public review, and certainly, as always, would welcome any additional feedback, though we have been, we certainly have tried to be very inclusive with this part of our program as well in terms of sources in from whom we receive feedback, including FDA, legacy OMOP PIs, which of course are current IMEDS PIs, many Sentinel industry, and others. In terms of the composition for the Scientific Advisory Committee, we have 12 members to this committee, 9 of whom are voting, 3 of whom, the FDA members, are non-voting. And these are listed for you here in alphabetical order, beginning with Bob Ball, who is at CEDAR at FDA, Jesse Berlin, who's VP at, of Epidemiology at J&J, and of course has long been involved both directly and indirectly with OMOP, Leslie Curtis, a familiar name from Duke, Ralph Horwitz, who is Senior VP for Clinical Sciences Evaluation at GSK, Steve Jacobson, who's Director of Research and Evaluation at Kaiser, David Martin, who is Director in the Office of Biostatistics and Epidemiology at CBER, Jennifer Clark Nelson, who is at the University of Washington and has been involved closely in working with Mini Sentinel, the Mini Sentinel Initiative, Sally Oaken, who is a patient advocate and is at Patients Like Me, Mark Overhage, who's Chief Medical Informatics Officer at Siemens, who has also been a longstanding member of the OMOP PI group and is now involved with us, of course, in iMeds. Nancy Santinello, who is VP and Head of Epidemiology at Merck. Azadeh Shayobi, who is at FDA. And Miriam Sturkenboom, who is at Erasmus. And I'll say just an additional word on Miriam's participation on the committee. As we were determining the criteria for establishing the composition of both the steering committee as well as the scientific advisory committee, we did recognize early on that it would be very important to ensure that we had not just U.S. participation, but that also we had involvement and contributions from folks outside the U.S. We have recognized that there's very important work going on in Europe and in other other locations, and as such, we wanted to make sure that we had an open line of communication with those individuals conducting research outside of the U.S. So I'll wrap up just by, as I promised earlier, just saying a few words on the iMeds Methods research agenda. Our mission with this research agenda, of course, going back to our support of the FDA and its mission by initiating and facilitating the execution of methodological research, which, of course, is aimed at improving upon the tools for conducting post-market safety surveillance using automated healthcare data. The high-level areas that were recommended by the Scientific Advisory Committee and that we used broadly as our guiding principles in constructing the research agenda are as follows. One is converting the results of the OMOP experiment, an OMOP experiment whereby we basically took a number of drug outcome pairs, some of which we thought all of which were based on ground truth, some of which where we believe that there would be adverse events directly associated with drugs, others not. And while in the majority of cases we were able to validate what we had previously considered as ground truths, there were a few discordant findings that we do want to investigate further and determine how those can be translated into practical advice for the conduct and interpretation of work that's going on within the Mini Sentinel Initiative. We also wanted to and want to assess new tools which are being developed in and for Mini Sentinel. And thirdly, move beyond what had been done in OMOP and what has been done and continues to be done in Mini Sentinel to develop tools and data that will assist FDA and other stakeholders in monitoring the safety of marketed medical products. With that, I'd like to turn it back over to Greg.
Thanks, Troy. I'm going to provide an overview of the final third component of iMeds, which is iMeds evaluation. If you see in the top on this next slide, the triangle in the top right. But before I do that, I do want to remind everybody listening in that if you do have questions, go ahead and start submitting those now. You can do that by using your Q&A tab. Put those questions in, they'll be in the queue, and then once I finish this last portion of the presentation, we'll open it up to you all to read your questions in the order that you submit them. So to move on with iMeds evaluation, as sort of summarized at the beginning of this, the vision is to apply the lessons learned and the tools that are developed within iMeds methods and to use those to help fill FDA's broader goal of creating opportunities to broaden the use of the Sentinel tools and capabilities in order to better understand the safety of medical products. The vision for iMeds evaluation is to do that by creating a distributed data system called the iMeds Distributed Database, but that will be comprised of the existing Mini Sentinel data partners that will have a contractual relationship with Reagan-Udall Foundation. I want to emphasize here that there's no thought or intent on disrupting or changing anything that that the Sentinel Initiative is doing. That will, as I said before, that will continue to operate under FDA's direction and through the Mini Sentinel Operations Center at Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare. This IMED's evaluation piece would be a relationship with the data partners that are already in the Mini Sentinel Common Data Model in order to do additional queries and further analyses of safety. So moving on to the next slide, just to summarize, you know, what some of the activities might look like, or especially for the pharmaceutical industry, who has very consistently expressed a desire and to have an opportunity in order to engage this system. So what might that look like? For example, there might be an opportunity through IMED's evaluation in order to do proactive monitoring of their products utilizing these tools and capabilities. This would be if some safety concern arises that there might be an interest for the pharmaceutical industry to monitor those. I'll go into that in a little more detail in the next slide. Also, more efficient opportunities for pharmacovigilance plans that might, for example, phase four studies or things of that nature for which this distributed database might be suitable for. And then another opportunity could be replication and sensitivity analyses around queries that have been run under the Sentinel system. And the sensitivity analyses might look like variations of the cohort examined or variations of the definition of the adverse event that that is being addressed, or variations in the analytic techniques used. What we've done so far is had some discussions along with Troy and others within the IMEDS program, have had some discussions with FDA, many of the Mini Sentinel data partners, and several key individuals from the pharmaceutical industry in at least identifying what the opportunities might look like and what the next steps might be for launching and further developing IMED's evaluation. The one thing that we have seen is that there is strong commitment and support for this type of program, although the legal, financial, and operational details of exactly how that will look remain in development, and we're continuing to make progress on that. On the next slide just summarizes some, I guess we want to call them examples of types of engagement. This isn't indicated to be the exclusive list or the only opportunities, but yet this is a way to describe some of the examples of how and when, say, for example, a pharmaceutical industry member or a foundation, for example, just any entity other than FDA who might engage with IMEDS to do some of these analyses. So the first example is clearly, you know, with the pharmaceutical industry in mind, is at the point of approval of a drug or biologic, where the manufacturer and the FDA have engaged in obviously extensive discussions, but as it relates to a pharmacovigilance plan, that might be a post-marketing requirement or commitment. There could be examples and opportunities whereby the distributed database could be an important component of fulfilling those post-market requirements or commitments that are related to ongoing safety surveillance. Again, right now, this is largely claims data with some electronic medical records. This will not be a suitable database for all post-market requirements, but there could be some examples where using such data would be appropriate. The second type of example is a bit more reactive in the sense that, as I summarized a little bit earlier, if there is a mini sentinel query or some activity that uncovers a signal, whether it be a strong or moderate, depending on what that looks like, there might be an opportunity for the for the manufacturer of that product to engage with the system to further understand what's driving the signal in terms of the methods versus the data. And so that could be an opportunity. Finally, the third example here that we've articulated here is a bit more proactive on the industry side in the sense that there could be a question that gets raised about the safety of a product for which the manufacturer itself wants to do some proactive surveillance utilizing either the modular programs or the queries that are currently being used within the Sentinel system. And this might, you know, examples of when this might happen is if, for example, the FDA has a question of the manufacturer about a potential safety concern, but it hasn't risen to the level of FDA engaging the Sentinel system, there might, you know, that might create a desire by a manufacturer to look within this data to see if there is a signal and to better understand that. Also, safety concerns that might arise within the company or by the public, for which there's a desire by the manufacturer to understand what's happening. This might be an opportunity to do that. And then finally, potentially, this could be useful in evaluating effectiveness of REMS programs. For example, again, that links us back into the first engagement type, but these data could be useful for various evaluation activities to understand if the REMS programs are adequate and appropriate for mitigating some of the risks. So on the next slide, I think what we'd just like to summarize here is where we are today and what some of the next steps are. Just a couple of weeks ago, we had a small focused group discussion that included senior leaders from the data partner side, from the FDA, and from the several of the manufacturers to just begin articulating of how this program might need to look in order for it to be to adding value and to making sure that the data partners and the FDA are aligned with what the goals and what the design of this IMIS evaluation would be. Some of the members are listed here, Mark McClellan, Dr. Rosenblatt, Dr. Wilson, and Dr. Woodcock are mentioned specifically because of their role and their membership of the IMED steering committee. And then other folks that we had in the room came from representatives from Aetna, BMS, Humana, Kaiser, Novartis, Optum, and Pfizer. So this group did include large data partners as well as FDA and manufacturers. Again, no decisions were made in this meeting. It was more exploring what the opportunities would be and what the program, what kind of value this type of program would bring to all of those involved. And then on this next slide, the next steps for this particular program are to draft what we're calling a concept of operations, which will detail more specifically what this program looks like. We've had some follow-on discussions with specific members from the pharmaceutical industry to identify potential pilot project ideas. And we will also be very, you know, obviously closely engaged with the Mini Sentinel Operations Center at Harvard Pilgrim in order to better understand what the technical capabilities would need to happen in order to set up some type of coordinating center within the Reagan-Udall Foundation, and then also with the data partners in terms of better understanding what the next steps are for engaging in those partnerships and making sure that this program meets their needs as well. So on this final slide, I'll wrap up this discussion on some of the broader next steps for the IMEDS program in general. Now through November, the IMEDS research agenda will be finalized and will be posted publicly. Between now and December, the continued securing of funding commitments in the range of $5 to $7 million for the 2014 implementation of the first year research agenda. And what we're hoping to do ideally is to have that comprise a combination of industry, nonprofit, and other supporters of this program. in early November, the goal will be to complete drafting the IMED evaluation concept of operations and to further detail what the two pilots will look like. Again, as these documents become final, they'll be posted publicly. I do want to mention in early November the OMOP Symposium, which is going to be November 5th through 6th in Bethesda, a very important conference which will highlight a lot of the great work that the OMOP investigators have done and continue to do, that will be showcased in that symposium. And then in November, there will be a presentation to the McKinsey CMO Roundtable, which is an opportunity where many of the chief medical officers within the pharmaceutical industry are engaged and have ideas around how this IMED evaluation might fulfill some needs that they have, as well as an opportunity to gain input into the further refinement of the IMED's research agenda. And then finally, I guess the last two continued things in mid-November and then through into December is that there will be an RFP initiation process where RFPs go out that outline specific research questions that IMEDS has in order to fulfill its research agenda, and will be an open opportunity for many investigators, either investigators that are part of that were part of OMOP, investigators that are part of Mini Sentinel, or other any qualified investigators that have an interest in doing research in this area, will have an opportunity to respond. And then finally, I guess, you know, through November and December and then continuing on will be a lot of activity that Troy and the other folks within Reagan-Udall Foundation will undertake to make sure that the financial support for this program is secured and that long-term commitments are made in order to make sure that this program continues to fulfill its mission in addressing the areas described. So with that, I'd like to thank both Dr. Mashicki and Troy for their presentations, and I'd like to open up to the line here. We do have a number of questions that have been submitted via the Q&A tab. I have Stephanie Beasley, Lourdes Frau, and Deborah Michaels. The order that were submitted so far. So. Stephanie, I'd like to go ahead and call on you to read your question. Again, for all of those who haven't submitted questions, please do so with the Q&A tab. Stephanie, if you are ready to read your question, I'll ask that you everybody has to do this. So press *7 to unmute your line, and then when you're ready, go ahead and please read your question.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Please go ahead.
I just had a question about the funding. You mentioned that between, I guess, November, December, Reagan-Udall is going to be looking for additional funding. I guess, do you all have any idea of what those sources might be at this point? Because I know this is a sort of a looming question for the program, is where future funding might come from.
Yeah, and I think that's an excellent question, Stephanie. Thank you for that. Funding historically for OMOP came from regulated industries, so pharmaceutical companies as well as pharma, the organization. Our hope is that those organizations who have historically funded the program, including IMEDS in 2013, as well as other companies, other regulated pharmaceutical companies, will see that the work that's being conducted within the IMEDS program continues to be extremely important to them, and they will want to continue providing a funding source. However, we also want to expand the funding sources from those just being regulated industry to also other companies that do not represent, that don't necessarily fall into the category of pharmaceutical companies. The examples of those types of companies might be Microsoft or Google or Amazon, companies who have an interest in big data projects, which of course is exactly what this is. And then we're also going to be tapping into other nonprofit organizations and other foundations that we know have an interest, have a strong interest in some cases, for the work that we're doing and would be supportive from a financial standpoint as well as any other standpoint. So as Greg pointed out, the three funding sources that we're looking for are regulated industry, non-pharmaceutical companies, and other nonprofit organizations.
And for companies, I guess, like a Microsoft or, you know, a nonprofit, what would be the benefit, I guess, of investing in a project like this?
Well, for I think the benefits are going to be the same for everybody. It's to support the specific research activities that will ultimately enhance the way in which we collectively evaluate the safety of marketed pharmaceutical products and medical devices. Anything that we can do to expand the scientific base and understanding, and then through the IMEDS methods program, and then leveraging that into the application of those methods through IMEDS evaluation.
Yeah, and then this is Greg. I think just to add on to Troy's comments and response, Stephanie, to your question, is that a lot of the methods will also be focused on you know, clearly better understanding how to utilize the evolving health information data that we have in the United States as claims data continue to evolve, as electronic medical records evolve, and more new types of electronic health data being used for safety evaluation, such as patient-generated data, other types of data from personal health records. And the question remains and continues is what are the best ways to utilize these kinds of data within various study designs and using analytic techniques to make sure that these data are capturing what we think that they're capturing, and to develop ongoing best practices on how best to use these data. And I think that the interest in contributing to that, doing that, expands beyond just the pharmaceutical industry, FDA, and academic groups, but into other members of the healthcare spectrum that you've highlighted.
Great, thanks so much.
So great. So I'll go on to Lourdes Frau. Lourdes, if you're on, please dial *7 and read your question.
Yeah, hi. I what I wrote is a little different, but will you discuss, namely with specific examples, how you're going to design and validate the surveillance system approach that you're proposing? I mean, you're what you're calling a research agenda is actually research-induced surveillance methodology. And as I said, the retroscope is always 2020. How will IMEDS approach the, quote, scanner and telescope approach that we usually use in real conduct of timely and responsive surveillance? Namely, the system that you're going to develop has to provide both timeliness and responsiveness, timely being the operative word here. Can you give some examples as to, again, because this is not just plain old research agenda, this is surveillance research. And I want to ask something, which is is the FDA and are you going to be coordinating with the CDC so that the government doesn't waste any more pennies and we don't shut down again next year?
Great question, and I'll try to address to the best that I can for that question. And you know, one thing I want to point out is we're not trying to develop a new system. I mean, this, you know, the FDA has done a great job in partnership with Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare under Rich Platt's leadership, as well as the data partners and the other academic groups that are working with FDA on this, to develop and design the Sentinel system, which includes the Mini Sentinel distributed database and the Mini Sentinel common data model as well as a very robust infrastructure for issuing queries and doing surveillance. So what IMEDS is going to support that in researching some of the study design questions and statistical analysis questions. What are the best statistical approaches to use in various situations? And how they're going to do that is with what they have is the IMEDS data lab, which is the legacy OMOP data lab, which includes claims data, electronic medical record data. There's a plan for Expanding that data to include data sources from Europe and the UK. And so that's one opportunity for methods researchers to dig in and better understand the impact of some of these methods. Also, the Mini-Sentinel distributed database, as Reagan-Udall develops partnerships with these data partners, there could be opportunities to do some methods research within the same data sources that FDA is using within the Sentinel system. And those data sources do have opportunities to validate outcomes with medical records. And so I guess what I've tried to articulate is that the research agenda will outline what additional methods research would support FDA and its use of the Sentinel system, and how that will happen with various data sources that will be available to IMED's researchers. I don't know if I'm addressing
I'm not talking about validating outcomes. That Sentinel has done rather well. When you got the outcomes and you know that what your pairs of events and drugs are, you are validating, Sentinel is validating very well. I'm not talking about validating outcomes. I'm talking about validating the system. Namely, how are you going to approach validating your setup, your system, to assure that you are indeed prospectively being timely and responsive? It is validating the surveillance system, and this is where I mentioned the CDC. Because if you have two agencies, the FDA and the CDC, who are both going to electronic health records, who are both going into medical practice, wouldn't it be better to have them coordinate so that they don't bother the practitioner out there or the medical system any more than they have to, and so that they can be essentially, cost-effective at the government level? So I'm talking about the validation of the system itself. Not outcomes validation.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's a great question, and I would say that the research agenda right now, as it's being developed, doesn't necessarily address that question, although it's an important one, and this research agenda is not fixed in stone. It'll evolve over time. But it is the point that you made around coordination with other governmental agencies that have a vested interest, like the CDC, will be very important for Reagan-Udall to make sure that it gets input from FDA as well as CDC and other organizations to validate, I guess, at the system level. I know some work has been done within the Mini-Sentinel group on developing, from a systems approach, ongoing monitoring techniques, the safety, the sequential nature of the analysis, mm-hmm. in terms of developing stopping rules and when would a program, depending on the result that you get, do you continue monitoring? What would you need to see in order for the system to say, okay, we don't need to continue monitoring, or what would you need to see to continue that? Those are great questions that continue to be developed within the Mini-Sentinel group, and my hope is that IMED will support that with additional methods work that needs to be done, and I don't think it will be efficient unless there is some alignment with what's happening within CDC and others. I know they're doing a lot with vaccine safety surveillance, mm-hmm. That will need to be aligned within IMEDS, and hopefully IMEDS can support some of that. But I do take your point. I think Troy, as I see him nodding, does, in that we don't want to replicate anything or duplicate anything, but perhaps maybe follow up with you on ideas on how best to do that would be a good opportunity to do.
Yeah, you need to, again, it's not validating specific outcomes. It's not
it's
not hypothesis verification. It's actually hypothesis generation, and again, the beginning of the surveillance with unknowns. Thank you very much.
Thanks for your and then you can press star 7.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, I was losing you a little bit. You may have answered a little bit of this question in the discussion or the beginning answer for the previous question about the research agenda, but I was wondering what types of investigators would be considered qualified for year one research aside from the current Mini-Sentinel partners?
Yeah, that's a great question, Deborah. The short answer is all investigators. I mean, we're, as I indicated previously, we mean it when we say it, that we want to have an inclusive research community. So once the research agenda is published, we will welcome all comers who are experts in this field of science to help us to engage in our IMEDS research activities in support of the agenda. So to put the answer another way, we're not excluding anyone at this point, and certainly have no intentions of doing that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, well, I'd like to thank everyone. We are at the end of the webinar, and I'd like to thank again Dr. Mashicki and Dr. McCall for their terrific presentations, and I want to thank all of you for tuning in to this this webinar. As usual, presentation materials will be posted on the Brookings website in the next few days. That'll include these slides and the audio portion. In addition, we are planning a few more webinars in the coming months, and we'll be sending out an announcement about those in the near future, and we look forward to your continued participation in these roundtable discussions. Thanks again to all of you, and have a great afternoon.